Hey, listeners, let's take a moment for a shout out to our sponsor, Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for creators to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create an awesome website, connect with your audience, and sell anything all in one place, all on your terms. Even if you don't know where to start with creating a website, Squarespace has you covered with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally created layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people. Flexible payment options make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So, ready to get started? Head over to squarespace.com/gamescoop for a free trial. And when it's showtime, use our special promo code GAMESCOOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Now, let's dive back into GameScoop. One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Come get some. Beware,
I live. IGN GameScoop.
Do you remember when cassette tapes are still at Safeway and
stuff? That's our cue to go. We've been on for like 30 seconds. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne,
Turbo,
and Tina Amini.
Turbo Scoop.
And
say Turbo.
It's good to be back. We have a great show for you this week. We will be playing video game 20 questions. But first, the Electronics Entertainment Expo 2018 edition has come and gone. I think we all had a very nice time.
Yeah. It was a great E3.
It was a really good E3. Lots of really fun games. Lots of really big games. But my particular focus when it comes to video gaming in general is in the single player space. And there's lots of talk about games moving in a multiplayer direction, formerly single player games going multiplayer. So I wanted to sort of like give a rundown of which players had the most, or which publishers had the most single player friendly
lineups.
The least players.
No player game.
Yeah, if they can find a no-player game, I'd like to see that. We have an email here from our friend Kevin from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Whoa!
You know him.
That's where I'm from.
Big Daddy Kev.
That's really bizarre. Okay. Like, you get Iowa every once in a while.
But Cedar Rapids is at least bigger than Iowa City.
Yeah,
you're right. And Coralville.
That's true. Well, your friend Kevin says, Fallout and most BioWare games are some of my favorite games of all time. With recent information about Anthem and Fallout 76 from E3, I find myself less interested in them than I originally heard about them. The concepts of them sound interesting, but I mostly lost interest as soon as I heard that they were designed so much for multiplayer. The devs said that you can play by yourself, but that always seems like a deflection to me when they are obviously not designed for that. Since becoming a father, you and your old friend Kevin.
Yeah.
Being able to pause the game at a moment's notice is more important to me than ever, which is usually difficult in any multiplayer game. In addition, games have always been my activity for when I don't want to interact with others. Even though there are plenty of other good single-player games coming out, it feels like my favorites are leaving me behind. What are your thoughts on two major developers known for their single-player games now making multiplayer-centric games?
Are you sure this is Kevin from Iowa and not Damon from Kansas?
It's Kevin from Iowa, from Cedar Rapids.
Dude, shout out to that Target they built.
I got my first NES out of Toys R Us in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah?
Oh, feel left out.
Iowa talk. Iowa scoop
from the big city.
Going back in a couple weeks. We can do a meet and greet.
You can hang out with Kevin.
At the Target.
Yeah. Yeah. Cedar Rapids meet and greet.
Tuesday, 3 p.m.
Probably no more Toys R Us, though. Yeah. That's too bad. Anyway, yeah, it's true.
I think we answered this question. Let's move on.
I like Kevin saying it's usually hard to pause a game that when you're playing multiplayer. I'm like, yeah, almost every time.
It was,
get away with it.
We had
a nice little corner. Mario,
you can pause.
Is that like a troll tactic? Like,
well, maybe. I've never thought about it that way.
It's just probably only player one that can pause the game.
That's probably true. We'll look into that.
We have another article about Anthem up today that's like 135 yep. new facts. One of those facts is that it's true. You cannot pause Anthem.
So even in certain areas? Oh, okay.
Well,
it's a shared world.
The part of his comment that I sort of honed in on was him saying, you know, they say that, oh, you can play these games solo, mm-hmm. but that feels a little bit like, I don't remember his exact phrasing, but...
deflection is what he said.
A deflection. And I don't know that I quite agree with that. I played Destiny 1 almost exclusively solo. And, you know, the game has problems with the story and yada, yada, but I still found I didn't feel like I needed to be palling around with my friends to be having a good time.
Totally disagree.
Yeah.
I played Destiny 1 with people, and it was a much better experience than Destiny 2, where, like, nobody wanted to play with me for whatever reason. I know, guys, what the hell? But, yeah, I think that whole, maybe it's not a deflection, but that's a really good point where it's designed for a multiplayer experience. And yeah. I felt kind of lonely and like, it's fine. It's doable. But the whole point of the game is at that shared.
Get your little robot buddy.
That's Ghost. True.
I'm trying to think of an example of a game where it was only multiplayer and they're like, oh, there's a campaign in there. And then it's just like really crappy. It's just like bots based. Yeah. But they usually have a campaign, but there's some games that have done that. And that's always really disappointing.
I played all of World of Warcraft when the last expansion came out solo. Level 1 to 110 or whatever the max was at the time. I guess I did do dungeons with other people, but like you match you up and do the dungeon and you're done. So that was
it. How do you get through all of the grinding alone?
I don't know. I mean, it's fun. Like I like the story and the characters and exploring the world. And like I feel like that's the way I'm going to play Anthem too.
Alone?
Yeah.
We're not going to let that happen, Justin. We're here for you.
It's for the 30 minutes in the evening I'm available to play the game.
Yeah. So like in the spirit of this question, I rounded up all the lineups from the big publishers to see who.
And before we get to that,
sure.
I played Anthem.
Okay.
And I think that it still feels like it's so much like Destiny in that it's like corridors and shooting things and numbers mm-hmm. instead of being like this, like, oh, it's definitely not what we played there, a BioWare game where you're like, oh, I'm going to go have these conversations and live this life, and be this thing. It is like a little bit more generic and it's a little bit more straightforward as like a shooter. So mm-hmm.
it leaves like, a room for those like collaborative experiences.
Yeah. I don't think if you didn't have fun playing single player in Destiny, you might not have fun with this, what I'm getting at.
Yeah. That's the impression I'm getting as well, too. As one of the 135 new facts that we've published today is BioWare says you can play Anthem alone if you really want to.
Really? Oh, so that was what a developer said.
Yeah. Which to me, it's like that's not how they're intending it to be played.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a problem for a single player. Intent matters.
Yeah. Okay, so of course Sony is known for having a very strong single player lineup. They had God of War this year, and they're showing Spider-Man, Last of Us 2, Ghosts of Tsushima, all single player games. Death Stranding, who knows what that is?
Zero player, maybe that is.
Maybe that
that's
is the first
one.
Zero player game.
The one.
Yeah. They've confirmed it has some sort of like online, like players can impact other players in the world.
Death Stranding, yeah. They've confirmed that.
Okay, mm-hmm. But I don't know to what extent.
It's weird that the only people allowed to play it with you are Norman Reedus. Yep. Hideo Kojima himself.
I don't know. That's what we were signing up for.
Guillermo del Toro.
Just a lot of investment.
Sorry, it's in your
part.
Contract. You
up to four players.
Up to four.
They own themselves, yeah. And that's who you play.
Up to four Normans.
And a baby.
That's exactly.
Four Normans and a baby.
Four Normans and a baby.
Alternate title. That's basically what that game is.
Yeah, right?
Microsoft also had a pretty good single-player lineup, although in recent years they've been more known for focusing on multiplayer live environments. They have Ori and the Will of the Wisps, sequel to Ori, Tunic, mm-hmm. which looks very, very cool.
I played both of those, and they're both really playable and fun. Yeah. Tunic is my choice.
Very, very cool. And then, of course, two of their Gears games, Gears 5, you know, will have a single-player campaign, but what they were telling me, what Microsoft was telling me is that it's leaning a little bit more into open world territory than
they were hinting at that in the trailer too, yeah. even with like that windsurfing in the sort of open icy area,
which sounds really cool to me.
Tunic is that Fox game, right? The
Zelda. Yeah, it's a Zelda clone.
Isometric. Yeah. Link to the Past. Sort of
like a rogue.
You chop up some bushes.
No, it's just a straight Zelda-like.
Ooh.
So it's like very carefully crafted levels, but I think you go. It has some verticality because you're kind of climbing these ziggurats of like Zelda
opening treasure chests and stuff like that.
Yep.
Getting loot.
I think we even backtracked a long time. We did, I think we were kind of over the shoulder playing that.
Loot foxes. Loot fox.
Loot fox.
Ooh.
A lot of alternatives.
Oh wow.
There you,
there you go.
See, it's going up that little thing.
We didn't even ask if you're a podcast listener. Yeah. Dan just brought up B-roll, and we didn't even plan that ahead of time. I guess so.
Yeah, and like, you know, the first thing you get is like a really weak stick as your sword. Like, it's dangerous to go alone and so on. And then you get some other stuff. And it's kind of cute. You can start chopping down bushes with this other weapon you get. And it's great.
I can't read that.
I love the look of this game.
I believe.
What was banned?
Loot foxes.
Well, at the EA conference, they said specifically we're not going to have any loot foxes. And then Microsoft, though, they had a single loot fox at their conference.
There's something there.
Yeah.
I talked to Chris Charlotte of Xbox about this game, and he's being very cagey about what the story is and the premise here. But we at least can tell from a...
Really?
From a glance.
Who cares?
he didn't want to tell us who this fox is, what he's doing, what he wants.
Look, you can see a treasure chest. You know, that's a secret area. You have to come back
when you get the sword. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that looks really cool.
I loved it.
And then one of the other three Gears games that was announced, Gears Tactics, I have to assume will have a heavily single player component.
Wait, that's not the one with the plastic toys.
That's not the Funko Pop.
Okay.
Gears.
All right.
Pop of War, whatever that one would be. And then, of course, there's Battletoads, which we don't know what that game is yet.
It'll probably have co-op.
That's what I would think, you know.
You don't think it's an MMO?
A Battletoads MMO. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Well, there's three Battletoads. That's massively multiplayer already.
Minimally multiplayer.
Battletoads.
You know what's confusing about that is that you have the
what's
same...
What's the plural of Toads? Is
same
it?
Acronym. It's still Tides? MMO for minimally multiplier online game.
Yeah.
The first
game. They have this footage too?
Yeah, I know. Well, listeners,
you should really watch this episode.
We are immediately following the Unlocked recording, so they've had this Xbox B-roll ready to go. I imagine they're not going to have B-roll for anything else that we're talking about at the show, but so enjoy this at least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are three Battletoads, Sam, is that right?
Rash, Pimple, and Wart? Zitz.
And Wart's not one of them?
Yeah.
Zitz.
Wart's is
but
from
they could introduce Wart. Wart is an enemy from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
Point, but he's the big bad. He's a frog.
He is frog-like. Absolutely, he's a frog. Yeah, that's a good point. He has a crown, though.
He's more of a king. I bet he's a toad.
He's also not real. He's a figment of Mario's psyche.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
There's that.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Now I have to put a spoiler warning at the end of this episode.
It's all a dream.
Yeah, so maybe Battletoads will be like a three-player multiplayer.
You counted that as a single-player experience, though, without
With a question mark on my notes, it has a question mark.
Well, in this time of games as service, who knows?
You're right, Sam. Who knows? It could be a minimally multiplayer game. Square Enix has a very strong single-player lineup. Kingdom Hearts 3,
mm-hmm.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Just Cause 4, mm-hmm. and Project... Or no, just Octopath Traveler. Sorry, there's no Project anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Square Enix picking up Eidos really gives them such a balance of, like, you know, Japanese games and Western games, and they've brought Tomb Raider back and really bolstered, like, Just Cause... You know, not that it was ever, you know, a massive AAA franchise, but it's sort of punched into sort of the more mainstream and been become a bigger deal over the last few years. So, you know, good for them for sort of bringing people multiple flavors of like, look, I just want to zone out and play games by myself.
Yes, that is exactly what I wanted to do.
Did anybody here play the Octopath demo?
We had it on the live show. That game, I don't need to play the demo. Like, I know I want to play it day one.
There's a lot of people in the office have been raving about the demo specifically.
I know, but it's like...
You know what really gets them worked
up? I can wait.
Instead of calling the people travelers, call them octopaths. And say, which octopath are you going to go to first?
People love that.
They really enjoy that.
Yeah, they like that one. It's a good, fun prank to play.
I like the Bard Octopath.
Gotta choose a path.
Do you get the title now? The title didn't make sense at first when they announced it.
No.
There's eight characters, and they each have their own story, their own path that you follow.
Okay.
And one of them is an octopus. So Octopath.
There's no octopus. There's an octopus, I'd play it.
And now Bethesda, even though Bethesda is taking Fallout away from us, single-player gamers, they still have a very strong single-player lineup with Rage 2, expansions for Wolfenstein and Prey, Wolfenstein Youngblood, which is, you know, also a co-op game, but if you play it by yourself, the other twin sister is AI controlled. The whole game.
Okay, well, that's
isn't
good to
Prey
know.
Expansion multiplayer?
there is a multiplayer expansion, but there's also a single player roguelike okay, expansion for Prey.
That's good to know.
Moon stuff, right? Moonstruck? Nope, that's like a
Moonlighting.
Movie with Cher, I think.
The interesting thing about Bethesda and Fallout 76, I think single player Fallout's fun. I think multiplayer Fallout also looks fun. So I'm not, super upset that they're changing it, but they went out of their way to really be the champions of single player games last year. And they had that whole sizzle reel of like, we're defending single player. And I'm like, yo, you knew you were making Fallout 76 by now. Like, just don't do that. Like, just don't lean into that messaging so hard.
It was cool during their conference, though, how they did stop and say, we know you guys are going to be skeptical because we said this before, mm-hmm. and we think that, we still want you to have this, single player experience, but
what an unfortunate
should
error.
We buy that? I don't know.
Yeah, what do you guys make of Fallout 76? I love
We Fallout couldn't play it at E3.
I know.
So that was annoying already. I don't know what to make of it.
My favorite thing about Fallout is the VAT system. I think we're going to lose that. And also,
your favorite thing?
Yeah, that's my favorite. Really like that gameplay mechanic. And then also, it's a world four times bigger than Fallout 4, but there are much fewer characters in it.
No humans that aren't other
humans. And you're not talking about hundreds of players, only dozens of players.
Can you imagine how many sassy robots there's going to have to be?
There's going to be a lot of sassy
That's the part that you just said is what, I'm sure, Bethesda, very smart company, very talented company. They found a way to make it work. But it doesn't jive. Four times bigger play space than Fallout 4. You're going to be playing with like a couple dozen other people in one session. Yeah, so it's like,
what is in that world? What's that world filled
Monsters.
With? I mean, okay.
True.
Sure. They did show a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
And I think that's a better enemy type. God, if this is a single player game, I don't even want
to. See? That's. Because
the monsters looked really good and they showed that reel of like how cool they were and stuff. And Fallout always has Deathclaws and, the blowflies and stuff like that. But like this looked really cool.
I'm a little worried about it, being grindy, like Division or Destiny or something like that. You have the same sort of menu of like 9 monsters and then you're going to fight 14 different colors of them. Mm. Like here's the irradiated Deathclaw and here's like the, the armored irradiated Deathclaw. And like that's the game for 200 hours.
Yeah. Well, the loot is good.
I mean,
the loot game's strong, though.
Yeah, makes up for it.
Loot foxes. That would also make sense.
And you can play like a hermit.
Yeah.
But you might get nuked by people you don't know on your server.
Yes.
So.
That's also a possibility.
Great.
So we'll see.
So enjoy building, everybody.
Who's doing the guide for that game?
All four. Mm-hmm. The entire team. That's a good one.
Bethesda also announced Elder Scrolls 6. And I would guess that would eventually be a single-player game, like the previous numbered Elder Scrolls.
Can you imagine?
Let's not dwell on that for now.
Let's not.
That game is years off.
I actually think Fallout 76 may inform.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
What risks they want to take with Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, if it's good, whatever. If it's bad, vote with your bucks.
Vote with your bucks, everybody.
They should do it just one-off every year, right? Like the single player 1 year and then the next year multiplayer.
I'm fine with that.
Well, every other year would be a faster pace for single player than we're getting right now, so sure.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree to your terms.
Capcom had three big single player games. Mega Man 11, Resident Evil 2, which big. People are really stoked for, and then Devil May Cry 5.
Yep.
It's revealed at E3.
Resident Evil is very spooky at E3.
Yeah.
They actually sent you down a hallway with flashlights and tried to scare you in real life
before
you played the video game.
They handed you a flashlight and sent you in a dark hallway. And then I'm being set up. 100% I'm being set up. But then you still round a corner of that dark hallway and a zombie goes, blah, blah, blah. And then I scream like a little girl.
So I took the first hallway and then I made Seth take the second hallway. But the first hallway didn't have anything in it. So he took the brunt of the zombie attack.
It's a good tactic. Mm-hmm. Meat shield.
Yeah, it was nice. And I did cower behind him.
Yeah.
In high school, for one Halloween season, I worked at a haunted house.
Ooh.
And at least in
you're a part of the problem.
Were you one of the spookies?
Yeah. And so at least in my experience, there's no training. There's no sort of...
Here's what you need to do.
You show up. You don't have any employment contract. You're paid daily. You just show up and you pick out a mask from a big bin and then they assign you a room. Hopefully it's not a room with a strobe light in it and you wait for people to walk through.
The strobe light just is painful to be in.
Oh, yeah. You're for 4 hours just in a room with a strobe light. You just wait for people to walk through, jump out and scare them. At the end of the night, they give you your whatever.
So they didn't
bucks.
Say, don't touch people. Don't block their way out.
Yeah.
They didn't say any of that.
They probably said something like that. Yeah.
I bet they
did. There's like There's nothing.
I love that there's no orientation or any. There's no rhyme or reason to how, like, okay, look, first you go, you know, the optimal is Wolfman, zombie, skeleton, nothing, Wolfman. Yeah. And it's like, nah. Just
what was your positioning?
Like I said, you're just assigned a room.
You got a room.
One night I was a room. It was like a military themed, and there was like a medical bay, and there was a cot, and it was like a Tuesday night, and no one was coming through, so I just laid down on the cot, and I think I fell asleep, and then I heard some people coming, like, oh, I got to jump up and scare them.
Have you guys seen that troll of there's a documentary series, I totally forget the name of it, but it's a show, it's like Bad Business Practices, and someone came who has a haunted house. And the person who runs this Bad Business Practices documentary decided that it would be a good idea to troll the attendees by cutting in the middle of the haunted house and then going up to the guests and saying, did that person touch you? Did the person who was there touch you? And then they drag him into a room, and it's very dramatic. And then they go through this whole thing. Yeah. So by the end of it, that's the haunted house. By the end of it, it's like they convince this person that they have some like terrible disease now. They even brought like a fake people in hazmat suits. It was pretty great.
So the reason we're all talking about this is because of Resident Evil 2 having that thing at E3. But there were several places at E3 that had zombies, and the zombies had a lot.
Right next to our booth.
Our neighboring booth had Walking Dead zombies. And I kept on wondering, like, are they told to touch people to get in their way? Because E3 gets really crowded.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the rules are given to people, but I did see them break character, and that was always really,
really?
Funny. Oh yeah,
yeah.
I didn't see any breaking character.
I generally don't like the roving, whatever you want to call it, the performance. You know, there's like just zombies wandering the show floor of one game or another. But I do give credit to those Walking Dead zombies. They had a lot of like really good stunts and like zombie things. Like they'd be impaled on the car for a while and like twitching. My favorite was one of them was buckled into the car's seatbelt, but then was trying to like lurch forward out of the car, and the seatbelt was holding them back.
That's cool.
They had good little.
That's cool where they're like pinned to a location and they're not like following you around and getting their face into your face. Then it's fine because you can admire it from afar.
But they were ending up in booths. So they're getting lost and stuff. They'd
they
be
were
like
wandering
really far
our
away.
Booth. They were circling our booth like sharks. So it's funny.
This is all for overkill. Kills the Walking Dead, which is, I think, a first person.
It's a Left 4 Dead like.
Yeah. Well, there's also World War Z, which is definitely a Left 4 Dead like, because it's 4-player co-op. Anyway.
I think you're thinking of Dragon Balls.
Moving on. Moving on from these publishers, you get diminishing returns in terms of who had a big, strong single player lineup. Nintendo was pretty weak this year. Of course, they announced Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. That's great for Smash Brothers fans. The game looks very cool. Not a single player game.
Yeah.
I'll see about that.
Justin played it a lot, single player.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, but they weren't really talking about whatever that mode is this time. The Pokemon Let's Go games are single player games, I believe. And then Fire Emblem Three Houses, which does look very cool. Fire Emblem game for Switch.
Yep.
Stoked for that. EA had Unravel 2, which was out that day, and Sea of Solitude. So at least two single player indie games. Unravel 2 is co-op, also playable single player.
It's funny seeing, I'm going to jump back to Nintendo real quick.
Okay,
with,
sure.
With Fire Emblem, everyone was very excited about being able to walk around the castles.
Really? I didn't even see that.
I like Fire Emblem. I play them and I enjoy them, but I'm not like a mega fan. But several people were like, whoa, that's exactly what I wanted, being able to like wander around the play space.
You could do that on the top-down ones. It just was like more engrossing. Sure, whatever. I played Pokemon with the Pokeball.
And?
It has two. Did you play that? It had more buttons than I thought because the top of the Pokeball is an invisible button that
clicks.
But
you couldn't play it in the demo, no? Like that button was useless in the demo.
It was still the B button. They told me that, and then it was still the B button to back out of menus and stuff, though. And then the other thing is like you could click the thumb button.
Yeah, that's it.
But it had two straps. It has two straps. Safety. Safety first.
Why do you need a second strap?
Well, the first strap goes around your wrist.
Yeah.
The second strap is just because it's funny.
Because it's funny. No,
isn't it where you grip on
So I bit? Presume that's what it was. Yeah. Did you put it on your thumb or...
My thumb.
Or,
no.
Or middle finger.
My middle finger. That's what you're supposed to do.
And then it kind of orients the ball because the ball, like a normal controller, if you have an analog stick, it's oriented up, down, left, right based on how you're holding it. But if you hold it on its side, the buttons are the stick is all wrong. And so that ball will just rotate in your hands and all of a sudden you'll be going right when you're supposed to be going up. So they want you to like... have some kind of orientation, and I think that was the reason for the two straps.
And so you don't throw it at your TV?
No, I think a third strap might be needed, just in case you lose it.
Yeah. Tied to your ankle?
That's the permanent strap.
Yeah, it actually has a GPS chip. It's fine.
Okay, good.
And it screams Pika when you when you shake it.
Is that true?
When you leave the room.
What if you're playing Eevee?
Did you catch a Pokemon and then like?
So you can catch a Pokemon.
Pokemon's inside.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can like set it in there. So they had one that you could play with, and then they had one that was only there for that. And they're like, you can't. They're really deliberate. You can't play with this one, but you can listen to Pikachu inside of it. So I did.
Well, I just listened to the one that
Pikachu
I
was in
using.
There.
Yeah.
Did that one have a sound
like
too?
Screeching. Let me out.
Yeah. So, does it have like every Pokemon, like 100+ Pokemon, or could be in there and has voice for all of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you really not know how many Pokemon there are on the first show?
I don't know how many there are. No.
Wait, did you feel like nobody different Pokemon that. Had different sounds in the Pokeball?
Yeah.
They sounded the same to me.
Mm. Well, I think it's a separate mode. So once you get out of the game, you have your stored Pikachu
right,
in there.
Right.
I've never been a Pokemon fan. Is there lore about. Like, it's a TARDIS.
Here we
thing,
go. Right?
So I'm just saying, like, the Pokeballs are bigger on the inside, I'm presuming. Like, they have, like, a whole house in there, like, an environment that they're surviving in.
It's just torture.
Torture.
I don't know. I just don't know the Poke. I don't know the
Poke. It's like Black Mirror, most recent season.
I'll ask Miranda or someone that knows when I leave. What's the lore behind? What's going on in there?
You don't know?
That's why she has all the Pikachu. She freed them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Getting back to single player games. Ubisoft had Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which looks very cool, and Starlink, which I think looks a little surprisingly cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Star Fox stuff does. I don't know.
Well, just like, even the game itself looks totally open world. Yeah. Yep. Open worlds game because you can fly from like 7 different planets.
Yeah, are we still talking single player games?
Yep.
Is that a single player game?
Yep, but we're almost done.
Everyone's sleeping on Starlink because of the Toys to Life component, but you can just buy and play it as a video.
Yeah, you actually don't need the
You don't need the physical part.
Toys. Activision has Sekiro. Shadows Die Twice.
FromSoft.
A From Software game, yeah. Which
it's just weird that Activision's published.
I know. It's an unusual, but that's cool. It's like.
That's it for them?
That's it for Activision's single player offerings.
All right.
Of course, CD Projekt Red has this little game called Cyberpunk.
They announced that they're thinking about multiplayer.
Thinking about multiplayer for Cyberpunk?
Quote? I mean, I'm paraphrasing the quote now, but it's something like, it's not going to be in the game at launch. We're making a single player adventure.
Yeah.
But they said in R&D, they were toying around with multiplayer. Mm. So they're like, maybe it'll
that's better than saying, we're thinking about holding back the game for another 3 years because we just want to
have multiplayer. That was their point. Yeah. It was like, you know, we're not going to let it hold back, you know, our launch schedule or anything like that. Plus, that game's already who knows how many years away. Mm-hmm. Several.
Techland has Dying Light 2. Devolver has this very cool game called My Friend Pedro, which is like the Matrix style, it's 2D side scrolling game, but with lots of cool bullet hell.
You're flipping and flopping all around like the Matrix.
Good. Deep Silver has Metro Exodus. 505 has?
I don't know.
Bloodstained.
Oh, that's them? I didn't know they're publishing that.
505 is publishing Bloodstained. Ritual of the Night. Sega has Valkyria Chronicles 4, and Warner Brothers has Hitman 2. And ladies and gentlemen, that is your single player offering.
Well, and this just in Annapurna, who I went to the last AB3, had a bunch of great single player games. They had Watam, which actually you can play as co-op. That's the creator of Katamari Damacy's new game. It's really funny and weird and stupid, and I loved it. And then they have a great game called Donut County, which is where you're moving a hole around the ground and everything's falling into it. It's very much like Katamari. And then there's two more games there that I don't know the names of that were awesome too.
Farming Simulator 2019 was at E3.
Was it there?
That's a Games as Life game now, or whatever.
Games as Life.
What do you call it?
Like, was that?
Like,
not game. Not this is what you not Toys.
You live here now.
Games as Service. What are you?
Games as Service.
Yes. Farming games Simulator as a game as service.
Yeah.
I hope it has like an Ender's Game like twist. Boy, I'm just spoiling things from the 80s today. an Ender's Game like twist where it turns out you're just actually
you're doing
someone's
the
farm.
Yeah. Someone you're doing all the farm work with it via a robot.
That's only like that's the last level of the game. Once they know they can trust you to not just crash it into the farmhouse.
That's like the nicest version of the last Starfighter or Ender's Game or something.
You're just farming.
Yeah.
Last Starfighter is really good.
It's fine.
All right, so in terms of single-player offerings, and especially AAA single-player offerings, for my money, I think Sony and Square Enix are the publishers that most have our backs.
Agreed.
Now, all during E3, I was tied to the booth doing live demos on our live show, so I didn't get to go around and see all these behind-closed-doors demos, like Cyberpunk 2077. So you guys tell me, what were the cool behind-closed-doors demos of E3 that you guys saw? Tina?
You hit the nail on the head.
Cyberpunk, of course.
Yeah.
I know, everyone's crazy about Cyberpunk.
Yeah, and I think it's also just because the demo itself was really cool. I don't think anyone was expecting, especially seeing the showing on stage, it was just kind of like a quick trailer and really cool looking, which could say that the game is still 5 years off for all we knew. But seeing it for 50 minutes, I think, was the demo time. And it was a full quest line too. And so you get to like see a little bit of the dialogue and some of the options allegedly that you can go through because they didn't show a variation there. But and I think that a couple of people were saying that they weren't sure if it was actually played live behind closed doors because you never really know since it's so on the rails seemingly. But I guess in Chloe's demo, she had someone in this in the audience had screamed out to like, this looks like it's not actually being played live right now. Like, wow. Zoom in on that sign over there. And they did.
The gall.
Yeah. But it's cool because now we know. Like, there was this little variation that clearly shows that they were using the controller.
You say the gall, but there's a super real chance. Like, the stakes are high at E3. Like, there's a very real possibility that they're miming gameplay and piping in 50 minutes of pre-recorded, you know, really ideal, you know, gameplay over and over again, and it's kind of fooling people a little bit. So it's neat that they were able to disprove that.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that actually until just now.
I mean, they rehearse these things for so long beforehand that it does seem really like.
And play them back to back to back.
Oh, yeah. I always love, like, I think it's Halo 2, but some game was being demoed on stage at E3 for the very first time. And, like, it was so rickety that it was like, if you, like, go over here, it'll just crash. Mm. Like, don't. Shoot this enemy first, because, like, it's a run-up to the show. Like, we have to get the E3 demo ready. And so, like, I'm sure that crazy polished, crazy impressive Cyberpunk demo is, like, broken in a million and one different ways that they know exactly how to avoid it all. Mm. That stuff always really fascinates me.
Yeah, so after the Last of Us demo, which was, like, frame by frame what we saw at the Sony conference, like, the behind-closed-doors demo...
is the same as what we saw?
It was exactly the same.
Interesting.
Like, and that's probably a scenario where if you look to the right, like, all the textures are broken.
Mm-hmm. And, well, like... I'm not saying this.
There's no way they were playing that live, right? Because there's just too many things happening that aren't real gameplay.
I agree with you. So there's I'll tell you what's going on because I talked to a different developer about it while I was there. And so there's a TV and there's the controller and it says press any button to start. Like, that's absolutely true. They pick it up and they press that start button. And then they go through a completely choreographed set of camera angles, actions, and then waiting. And the waiting is for like some of the enemies to get near you and stuff like that before they do stuff. And like, it's all choreographed. And so that one, you have to do that because the only way to show that game, and I'm being more forgiving now because I was really skeptical when I saw it. It's like, this is nonsense. It's like, is this a bullshot demo?
Yeah.
You know? But after doing that, I went to the Anthem demo and I played Anthem, you know? So the woman that was there, it was head of QA at BioWare. And she was saying that that she had been doing a demo using the thing I was playing, and she had spent like 6 weeks or something like that learning it. And it was because they wanted to get the camera angles to look really cinematic and cool for every part of it. So it was like when you go in that game, you saw the area that I played because everybody's seen it. It's like you fly past that Titan, you go underwater, and then you like kill a spider. Mm. And so like while I did that, I just looked idiotic. You know, I was like, it looked like you know, I wasn't like bad at it or anything. I was just like powering around, hitting waterfalls and, you know, it looked like whatever.
Bunny hopping all around.
But she had learned to like rotate the camera slowly while you fly. And like when you land to do like a quick pan around to see what's going on. Like it's stuff like that. So I think if you extrapolate what she had learned and think of it as like, you know, a choreographed dance or whatever, that's what they're doing with Last of Us with probably a lot less game.
Well, they also have, so they have like 10 or 11 minutes. There's two ways to think about it. The one way is like, hey, they're misleading you a little bit. Like the game's not always going to be this tight and, you know, the tension's not always going to be this high. But they have this amount of time and they need to show you stealth and they need to show you gunplay and they need to show you story and they need to show you melee. Like they have to, the game's major systems, right? So to rig up an enemy so that they know like, okay, in 7 seconds, this guy's going to walk by and then we can like kickstart the next part of this demo. Like, I'm kind of two minds about it.
Yeah, but that's how you know a game is far along is when they just drop you and say do whatever you want. Like Assassin's Creed, you can do whatever you want in that demo. Yeah. I just swam out to the ocean.
That game's done.
And fought sharks.
Yeah.
Like it didn't matter. They didn't. Yeah, and the people that were demoing it were like, yeah, you can do it.
Well, you went for the dolphin.
I saw a dolphin and then a shark came in from the side.
Yeah, which is super cool. And that's the cool thing about playing a demo for a game that's closer to release is that you get to have those more nuanced moments instead of just playing through a bunch of bugs.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, sometimes we get, not criticized is too strong of a word, but like, you know, we're commenting on games that we didn't have the controller in our hand. We had someone play it for us. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if there's a difference between a game where like everyone's going to have the exact same 8-minute experience versus a game like Assassin's Creed where like we'll just get plopped in the world and go wherever you want. Like that's a game that I think is a lot more important for, you know, a journalist to explore themselves.
Mm. Yeah. Out of the games I played, Resident Evil was fantastic. Yep. It was such a good demo.
You actually had to play it.
Played it, cool. 20 minutes. By the end of that 20 minutes, I did not want to put the controller down. Yeah. It was so exciting and got me right into it.
Same. I really liked it too.
is that you haven't ever played Resident Evil 2.
No, right? Yeah, and so it just felt like 4 to me. I mean, cool. They had over-the-shoulder crate. And then Spider-Man demoed really well, too, because you could do whatever you want in that, but it was like kind of mission-based, and then you got to fight a boss.
Yeah, you had either, I think, 20 minutes, so there was a time limit, so you could just like web-swing for all you wanted, and it was just pretty tempting. But I wanted to get to the boss level, too, so and then that could have been the end of your demo. But you could have taken on like whatever random quests were happening. And
there's enough to learn about web swinging that it made it fun. Like, you're not just doing the swing. You can also do this, like, kind of horizontal hop and a couple other things. And by the end of the demo, I felt like I learned how to do it.
Yeah, so for
sure. I thought that was cool. But I never learned how to do the combat. Mm. I was bad at the combat.
It requires some web swinging, too, sometimes.
That's true. Yeah. I screwed it up a lot.
It's not, like, a faster-paced, like Batman-style combat?
I think it is like that. I just was bad at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just requires a little bit of memory.
There's a fun super attack where you like spin around, just web just goes everywhere. Yeah. That helps a lot.
That was my favorite thing. I didn't play.
Spider-Man was your favorite thing?
Well, I was going to say my favorite type of E3 demo is like, here you go. There's a timer, 20 minutes or 15 minutes, like just play. And the way that I play those demos is like, I'm going to try to find something that like no one else of this show has seen. And of course, like thousands of people playing the game. I'm not going to find anything. But like, that's how I played Mario Odyssey last year was wherever the Zelda game's trying to tell me to go, I'm like, nah, I'm going the exact opposite direction.
See, that's why timers stress me out though, because I want to explore everything, but I also want to get through all the content that they put out there because it's more substantial, quote unquote, stuff. Stressful.
The Kingdom Hearts demos were like really specific that way, where it's like you either are talking to Toy Story characters for the whole demo, or you're climbing this cliff and fighting this one boss. There wasn't like any like go the other way. They like really channeled you through them. That was a little disappointing, but they looked nice. And then the Tunic demo, as we already mentioned, was cool. And then what was the other Microsoft game?
Ori,
yeah. And then Ori felt
Ori
really good.
Ori was cute, yeah. Chloe said that she really liked Shadows Die Twice.
Oh, good.
Specifically because the person who was leading the demo was the programmer for the boss that they were fighting. So they went through a couple of the different enemy types and then ended with the boss, but he kept dying. Just kind of like goes to show that like the game is doing That's what cool. you would expect from a From Software.
Yeah, game. Absolutely. Yeah, it has to do that.
They also said they're sort of trying to address one of the complaints that some people, like you and I have with Dark Souls and Bloodborne, is just how that world doesn't make any sense. It's just like nonsense when you start the game. Here they've actually written a narrative that, you know, it's like a revenge story.
Okay.
And you're playing as a character who has a story. So yeah, could help.
It's also definitely an art to like E3. I really, really like strategy games. I'm a fan of the Total War franchise. And that had a big presence at E3, but it's like that's a really challenging game to get a feel for at a show like E3, and so
like the new the Three Kingdoms one, the Ancient China one,
and I didn't actually ever even go in and explore the booth just because I've learned by now that at E3 it's not a wonderful place to do that. And what jogged my memory about that is people have gotten pretty good at like FromSoft games now, so someone like Chloe can probably go in and like crush that demo. But when those games were not quite as evolved or at the state they are now, like, it's tough, man. Like, okay, I played this demo and died 12 times, great, like now I have to move on to the next game. So
yeah.
Did either of you guys play Ghosts? I know.
They sometimes tune down the difficulty.
Andrew.
Tsushima?
Andrew saw it. It was a behind closed doors, hands off demo.
So we didn't have it on the show either.
We had it on the show, but it was the same thing that we saw at
Sony so
conference.
For Andrew was saying that it was exactly the same thing as what you saw on stage, except they used photo mode occasionally. So it kind of like pull you up and then you could spin around and see how gorgeous the game is. It was kind of like a braggy moment for them. I mean, it is gorgeous, so.
It's the second half of what I was just saying was sometimes they make it so you're invincible in game demos at E3.
Or
they tune the difficulty way down.
Yeah, so that you feel like you're like really
having
good
having a good
at
time,
it.
Yeah.
You know what? Anthem had that in a really funny way. There's a super weapon you have in it where if you like save up for a long time, you can like click both shoulder buttons and expend this like crazy weapon. It's like a, you know, like a nuke. And at the beginning of the demo, they said, don't hit those buttons because it doesn't, it's normally limited in the game, but it's unlimited in this. Sure. So, you know, near the end of it, they tell you, like, now you should try it. But potentially, you could just start the demo and just be like, which would have been great, but I didn't do it.
Okay, turning our attention to Nintendo, or to at least to the Nintendo Switch at E3. Of course, third-party support is always a big question mark for Nintendo consoles. By my count, 23 third-party games were announced for Switch at E3.
Interesting.
There was more than Smash?
Correct me if I'm... Yeah, well, third-party games.
Yeah, bad jokes.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think these are 23 games that are just announced at E3, not including stuff that we knew that was coming, like Dark Souls Remastered. Stop me if you have a comment.
Switch Watch.
FIFA 19. The Elder Scrolls Legends. Coming to consoles. Very cool.
Play that on your phone instead.
Along with Fallout Shelter. Play it on your phone instead.
I think so. Yeah.
Like you haven't already.
Yeah, exactly.
Just Dance 2019. Trials Rising. First time Trials is coming to Switch. I'll cheat for Starlink. That game was previously announced, but they announced the whole Star Fox integration there. Daemon X Machina.
Your favorite.
Very, very excited to finally announce that.
That's the robot game they kicked off their conference.
Yeah. Killer Queen Black.
Yeah, that's an arcade game that's getting a remake is what they're calling it on the Switch.
Big multiplayer, like competitive.
Yeah, it's an RTS.
Fortnite, of course, was out the same day for Switch. Overcooked 2 coming later this summer.
That's cool.
Hollow Knight out now.
Mm-hmm. Tom's very excited.
Tom's working on that review. Arena of Valor, big MMO RPG, I think.
It's a MOBA.
It's a MOBA game, okay. But from China, I think.
No one knows. No, it's out. It might actually be South Korean. I'm not sure, but it's an Asian MOBA, and that's the one that had all the DC characters in it. So it's
interesting.
Got, like, Batman.
Weird. PixArk, I think, is based on the Ark Survival series, but it's like a Minecraft crafting version of that.
Exactly right.
Ninjala.
Smash Brother. Splatoon.
Well, it's like Splatoon and ARMS combined, I think. Carcassonne.
Oh, I didn't see that news.
Carcassonne is coming to Switch.
What is Carcassonne?
It's a board game. It's like a town-building board game. That's really fun.
Nice. Yeah.
And then Ark Survival Evolved itself is coming to Switch. Wasteland 2 announced for Switch, which is very cool. I haven't actually gotten a chance to play that game, but it seems like a Damien game.
That's the Fallout-esque. But not Fallout 3.
But made... Fallout, right? It didn't, like, people that made Wasteland originally go on to make Fallout?
Yeah. Wasteland in the 80s. Like, Fallout 1 was a spiritual successor to the original Wasteland. Yeah.
And it is,
and
like...
Sort of trace it all the way back there.
It's, like, isometric and everything, right?
Yes.
Wasteland 2 is. Yeah.
Cool.
Paladins, which is also out now or coming.
Yeah, it's out.
Lego DC Supervillains, coming this October. Team Sonic Racing, which I think is out this summer. Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition, a JRPG, which I have not gotten a chance to play yet.
I don't know that one.
Dragon Ball Fighters was announced for Switch. And My Friend Pedro, which we mentioned earlier on the show, coming to Switch.
And Fortnite.
From Devolver. I mentioned that one.
Oh, I missed it.
If Fighters couldn't have come out... If it could have come out for Switch this whole time, it's weird that they held it.
That's a big question for a lot of these.
Yeah, that's too bad. Games.
I'm surprised to not see more. You know, Bethesda did it with Wolfenstein and Doom, and now we have Dragon Ball FighterZ, but more games, you know, figuring out how can we squeeze this thing onto the Switch.
Yeah.
I would have thought by now, you know, consoles, 20 million of them out there, huge success. You'd feel like developers would be, you know, hitting that console more often with the big multi-platform stuff.
And then just today, both Inside and Limbo. That's coming to Switch next month.
Is it with a crazy special edition, or is that still ways off?
No. Just those games. I think that
are those paired up now?
I feel like the time limit went up on that weird sex doll box, the mystery box. I think that expired, but I never heard anything about what that was.
Is that like the thing where Just Cause 3 was giving away an island?
Yeah, what? I remember that. Was it Just Cause 3?
It might have been 2, because it feels like that was a long time ago.
I don't remember. We have one game, like there was a contest.
Who won?
Win an island. I don't know. There's also the Dead Island. There was a giveaway with like this big zombie fortified fort that they were giving away that's worth $15,000. We never follow up on this stuff. Okay, as I always like to do, I like to check in with the release calendar every so often.
Hey, release calendar.
At E3, we get so many release dates, and now we have a pretty good idea of everything we could possibly play coming out this fall. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of games to get through, so. I'm just going to start like bumping through them, and then you guys stop me if you have...
Wait, are you doing the games that don't have a release date?
No, this is the games that do.
Okay.
These are the games that...
This is my list?
Do have release dates, yeah, but I added to it, because you're focusing on the real big ones.
Rude.
Stuff we're going to be doing guides for.
You were consulted on.
We'll start in July. July 3rd is the Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered Edition.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. then the week of July 13th is a very big week for us Switch players. Captain Toad comes to Switch. Octopath Traveler comes to Switch, as well as Bomb Chicken.
Did you see Captain Toad?
Remember Bomb Chicken?
No.
Which
looks cute. Hold on, what are we talking about?
I was talking about Captain Toad, but we can talk about something else first if you want.
Bomb Chicken is just a cute little game. It comes out the same week.
Got it. Captain Toad, which I missed on the Wii U, so, you know, excited to have a chance to get back to it. It's got a bunch of new stuff in it. It's got a lot of Mario Odyssey stages and content in the Captain Toad. It's almost like a Captain Toad 1.5.
Awesome. I'm excited. July 17th is Sonic Mania Plus. Sonic Mania with extra stuff, I imagine. July 24th is a recommended day for you to keep your eye on. Both Mega Man X Legacy Collections come out that day, as well as Banner Saga 3. I don't know, the thrilling conclusion to the Banner Saga trilogy. And No Man's Sky comes to Xbox One with the new multiplayer content.
I've heard that game's good now. I'm skeptical.
Sam liked it.
I always liked it, yeah. But I liked it warts and all. You know, I understand. I understand the problems.
August 7th is Overcooked 2. August 9th is Layton's Mystery Journey DX coming to Nintendo Switch. Okay. Yeah, I missed that too. Okami HD also comes to Switch that day, as well as Yakuza 3 remastered for PS4. August 10th is Madden NFL 19, and We Happy Few. Finally, after all these years, We Happy Few finally coming out.
And it has like a big single-player component now.
August 14th is Episode 1 of Telltale's Walking Dead's final season, as well as the Battle for Azeroth expansion for World of Warcraft.
I won't be playing it.
No, you're not?
Is it a big one?
I mean, I don't know. They're all equally big. Okay. I don't know. The last one was Legion, and that just got me more pumped from like a lore standpoint. Yeah. This one, I don't care as much.
August 28th is Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate for Nintendo Switch. Well, I don't really know. We'd have to ask Casey exactly what that game contains. And then another Yakuza game for PS4, Yakuza Kiwami 2. I don't know why we get like 10 Yakuza games a year now. That's nothing, not a knock against Yakuza.
The confusing
just so many
thing
now.
About the remasters versus the Kiwami is those are the actual remakes. Like it takes the old Yakuza games and, you know, it's more like Resident Evil 2. Like it's a retelling, completely new version of that older game, whereas the remaster is just a remaster of the older game. So it feels like they should pick one or the other.
September 4th is Drakuei 11 Day.
Drakuei.
September 7th is a scoop gem of a day. Spider-Man for PS4 is out that day.
It's the beginning of the fall game season.
That's why he should have stuck to my list, which skipped to that.
1 week later is Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Is that on your list?
So
it is.
It's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I guess I'll play Spider-Man for a week, set it aside for Tomb Raider, then come back to Spider-Man.
Really? That's your plan?
Yeah, for sure. I'm much more of a Tomb Raider guy than a Spider-Man guy.
You don't know that yet because you haven't played Spider-Man.
I know in terms of the properties that I'm interested in. Yeah.
I think Spider-Man's going to draw you in. You're not going to want to drop it.
That's possible. That's possible.
Well, web slinging.
Well, you already committed.
I've not committed. I just said a thing on this dumb show. September 21st is Spyro Reignited Trilogy and the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC for Switch.
I know a lot of people in the office are very excited for Spyro, so hang in there.
There is, Mr. Dornbush himself.
I've never played one of those.
At the end of September the 28th is Code Vein, which I just don't really, Dark Souls with zombies or with vampires, something like that.
It's anime style.
Anime Souls with vampires.
Yes.
Yep.
October 2nd is Mega Man 11 Day, which I'm very excited for. Or if you're more of a Forza guy, you can also play Forza on that day.
It's Forza Horizon.
Forza Horizon 4. There's a new Fist of the North Star game coming out that day.
All right.
I saw.
Are those still brawlers?
I have no idea.
All right.
Just through happenstance, when I was at the Capcom booth at E3, I was there with Tate from the IGN product team, who we let him out to go play video games.
Good.
I saw people just getting destroyed by the Mega Man 11 demo over and over and over again, and then Tate just completely annihilated that demo. He took it apart. I was like, whoa. It was like the most impressive.
I think 4 difficulty settings. Just choose the easy one.
Dude, it was crazy.
Maybe they did.
They have 4 difficulty settings now.
Feat of skill, for sure.
Sam played that one, too.
Fist of the North Star might be the coolest name. I don't know why that's so cool.
It is a really cool name.
I know it's like an anime or manga property, but I only know that from there was an NES game.
NES game, that's all I know.
Yeah. Which I never even played. I'm just aware of it. October 5th is Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Super Mario Party. Super Mario Party actually looks pretty cool.
Yes, and you actually got to see that closer than anybody.
We had it on the live show.
I was so focused on Smash. Is it basically just another Mario Party game, or is it doing something special or different?
Well, it has the whole gimmick where you can combine 2 Switches to the screens.
I guess I did
create
see that
a bigger playing field, and they'll sort of interact together. So.
Yeah, cool. But is it basically like Mario Party 11?
I don't know the Mario. I couldn't tell you 11 from 8 or 7. Okay. But
yeah, it is.
I meant like as you just still, the next mainline Mario Party.
Yeah, you roll dice, you move around a board, and then you play.
Yes.
It may not have been a 10 or 9. I don't know what number
1
right
now.
Okay.
Yeah, you nailed it.
October 9th is important for me. That's Disgaea 1 Complete is out that day. For Nintendo Switch and PS4. Never come to Xbox, unfortunately. October 12th is Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And the 16th is Starlink and Lego DC Supervillains. October is you're in the stuff. Because the 19th is Battlefield 5 and Soul Calibur 6. And then, of course, The thrilling conclusion to October on the 26th is Red Dead Redemption 2, mm-hmm. which is not even at E3.
I'm curious about Soul Calibur. Way before fighting games were known for having a good story, like Soul Calibur had like a really fun single-player like campaign mode to work through. And so
really?
I hope that they've continued that.
You still just beat up people in it? Or do you basically platform?
I only have like vague memories of like, you know, just moving around, mm-hmm. you know, unlocking things and unlocking new weapons and challenges.
There's a few big games in November. November 6th is Overkill's The Walking Dead. Hitman 2 is out on the 13th, followed immediately by Fallout 76 on the 14th. And then the both Pokemon's Let's Going are out on the 16th.
How, are you going to take November. A break from Fallout to play
yeah,
Pokemon?
Definitely play. Yeah, exactly. Whenever, yeah.
Pikachu or Eevee?
And then
Pikachu or Eevee, Damon.
The two late, well, Pikachu, obviously.
Oh,
really?
Is that obvious?
Not original.
Well, I mean, isn't Pikachu just
you were trying
most...
to get away with it, weren't
isn't
you?
Isn't Pikachu just the most likable Pokemon?
I think Eevee is.
Really?
Eevee's coming up
is... by a country. Here's what is Eevee's voice sound like? I have no idea what Eevee's voice.
Eevee goes wee wee wee.
I think Eevee sounds cuter than that.
Yeah, Eevee barely even says Eevee's own name. The problem is that you sit next to Miranda.
Well, kind of adjacent, sure.
So you have a lot of Pikachu influence in your life.
Yeah.
But out there,
yeah, that's some
in
Pikachu
the world,
bias.
Eevee.
It is true. I am biased towards Pikachu.
Do you know what Eevee can do?
No, I don't.
Well, Eevee can
I don't want to know, though.
Into
in December, we only have two games coming out in December. As of right now, Just Cause 4 is out in the 4th. And then Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is out in the 7th, which I was surprised how late in the year that's coming.
Very late.
Just Cause and Smash is kind of a good December.
Yeah, sure.
Settle down. Yeah. Play all the
get
games
out of the way of October.
But that'll be good 3 months after the launch of Nintendo, the Switch's online service.
What about February 22nd?
We're not talking about that yet.
There's nothing coming out that day.
We're not talking about that.
Four major games.
Yet.
All right.
Anyway, it's going to be a good. It's going to be a good fall. Lots of good stuff coming out. And that brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Stephanie in Rhode Island. Let the questioning begin.
Well, Rhode Island is the smallest state. So, that might influence what Stephanie chose.
Does your character wear a hat?
You can wear a type of a hat.
Oh, God. That sounds like a helmet or like a crown or a mask.
Probably a helmet.
Is it Destiny? Is it on current generation consoles?
No.
Did this was this released before 2000?
Yes.
Ooh.
This doesn't count as a 20 questions question. I just want Damon's opinion. Do you consider a mask a helmet? Do you consider a mask a hat?
Yeah, he did, because remember the sneaking episode where the Burger King was wearing a mask?
That's
because
he wears a crown.
Oh, is that the functionality of it?
Do you consider a mask a hat?
No, I do not consider a mask a
like
hat.
When you had
to, so a hat has to go over the top of your head.
Yes.
So, what if the mask, what if it's like a Halloween mask that you're pulling over your whole face?
In your job as a Halloween scare person,
do
they say pick out a hat and go to a room?
Does the mask have a hat?
Like it's an Abraham Lincoln with a top hat built into it.
If it's just like a Freddy Krueger,
it's
just like a Freddy Krueger mask with a bald head, I would say no.
Okay.
All right. This is sounding a lot like Space Station Silicon Valley.
Did it come out? Was it before? I wasn't even paying attention.
It was before 2000.
Did it come out before January 1st, 1990?
No.
90s game.
Mm-hmm.
90s scoop.
Is it an RPG?
No. Not an RPG.
But you can wear hats.
Did this come out in cartridge format?
Yes.
Was this exclusive to the Sega Genesis?
No.
Was this a 16-bit game?
Yes.
Okay. So SNES then.
It'd be...
If we're TurboGrafx, it's hosed, but I'm willing to take that chance. Was that a 16-bit console? It may have technically have been an 8-bit.
It claims to be a 16-bit, but what?
Wow. Did this was this developed in Japan?
Yes.
Japanese. Hopefully it's a Super Nintendo game.
So SNES, developed in Japan. You can wear some kind of a helmet. That's all we know so far.
Mm-hmm. Some hat. Some
Bomberman style.
Some hat like.
Don't let the hat influence you too much, though, because Damon could be tricking us.
I'm not tricking you. I'm trying to help you.
Was this game developed by Nintendo?
Yes. That's 10.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's a lot of questions already.
Yeah, but we're doing well.
So, is this part of the Mario universe?
No.
That eliminates a lot of spinoffs like Yoshi and Yoshi's Cookie.
And it is a one-player game.
Those were an 8-bit game.
Did we?
We didn't ask, but I asked that. Is it a one-player game?
Yes.
Okay. The you can wear a hat trips me up if it's like Link to the Past or something.
Yeah, or is it Super Metroid?
You're never not wearing the hat.
In the end.
If you get the good ending.
Do you wield a sword? Or do you wield weapons? Is that a good question?
Sure.
Ask away.
It doesn't matter.
Are you asking if you use weapons?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Ooh, Mario
Paint. That's a good question.
Yeah. No, it's not part of the Mario universe. Oh, yeah.
Was Mario Paint part of the Mario universe?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think so because Mario's outfit from Mario Paint is in Mario Odyssey.
That would mean that flies and fly swatters are canonical in the Mario universe?
Yeah, there's flies in that universe, sure.
She eats them, right?
No weapons.
Yeah.
Maybe, is this...
SimCity 2000?
Yeah, or a puzzle game. Mm. Well, I was thinking...
Did Nintendo make that?
Doesn't work. Developed by Nintendo. It could be Earthbound.
You got weapons in that game. You'd hit dogs with a baseball bat in the beginning of that game.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds bad when you say it like that.
Could it be...
They started it.
They were rabid. You have 7 questions left.
Is this a puzzle game?
Nope.
Eliminates Hattress. The ultimate game with hats.
It's true.
It needs to be that one.
Although, if the question is, can you wear a hat? Yeah. I don't think you can in Hattress.
Hattress, yeah, that would be tricky. There are hats. All right, a Nintendo-developed 16-bit game.
No combat. Well, no weapons.
No weapons.
But it could be hand-to-hand combat.
Driving, F-Zero?
I like that.
Is this a driving game?
No, it is not a driving game.
Are you doing this?
Flying game?
Why are you doing
15.
Is it Star Fox?
Is this because...
Yeah, I was going to say Star Fox.
It could be Star Fox.
You have weapons.
But yeah, you shoot weapons in Star Fox.
Yeah.
You don't really hold them, I guess.
Is it Uniracers?
That's not a Nintendo-developed game.
It is.
It's DNA.
Published?
It's
No, you're right. Yeah, it's published by Nintendo.
Yeah, the Uniracers is the Grand Theft Auto team.
Are we not counting F-Zero's driving now because it doesn't have wheels?
You're driving.
Is this what it's come to?
I'm more the technicality of, are you wielding weapons in Star Fox if you're flying a ship that can fire weapons?
Oh.
Yeah, you're not.
Okay.
Or did I ask if there were weapons, generally speaking?
I think the question I
think he said there were no weapons.
You do not use weapons in this game, to reiterate.
Okay.
Well, that's very specific again.
Okay.
You do not use them yourself.
What Nintendo?
But he said it's racing. It's not racing.
I said it's not. You do not drive in this game.
So is it a flight sim?
You don't drive.
Whatever.
So pilot wings.
Yeah. There you go.
Pilot wings. Yeah. Does this game revolve around flying or flight?
Yes.
does it make a specious and epic use of mode 7?
Yes. Okay.
Is it Pilot Wings?
It is Pilot Wings.
Nice.
Nicely done. Yeah, I feel like.
How many questions do we have left?
2.
Didn't Pilot Wings come out on the Wii U? They tried to bring it back. Are they Wii?
No, 64 has Pilot Wings 64.
Yeah, and then I thought there was that one more.
There's the Wii. Ooh,
there was
Sports Resort has a Pilot Wings.
Wait, was there not like a 3DS one?
Maybe there was.
I think there might have been a handheld one.
Well, because what I was going to say is bring back Pilot Wings, but I think they already tried, so maybe don't.
There was a Mii based Pilot Wings on 3DS, I think.
Pilot Wings 64.
Right? Did I dream that?
No, I think that's right.
Just what it like.
Second guessing Mario Party 10 now, too.
Pilot Wings 64 is the iconic one, right? Like, no one ever remembers Pilot Wings on the SNES.
That's the one that I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think I played the 64.
Where did Wave Race 64 come from?
Yeah, where was the first?
It was just.
It was just like Mario 64.
Yeah, but it just came out, and then they made one more on the GameCube, then that was it. Anyway,
I know there's a Pilot Wings on 3DS, but I can't remember the name.
The point is, bring back 1080 Snowball.
Pilot Wings Resort. That's what it's called.
Yeah, Pilot Wings Resort. I remember
that's coming back to me now.
Yeah. Cute.
I was worried. You guys, I felt like you were Forgetting like about pilot wings.
Tina was MVP on that one with the weapons.
Oh, that was
the weapons question is really good.
A totally random one. I'm glad that it worked.
Also, pilot wings is definitely an RPG. I don't know how we got past that.
An RPG.
Some puzzle elements.
It is weird though. Like I revisited it so I could answer your guys' questions. But like you like move through like an easy, normal, and then like expert modes where the challenges get more and more difficult.
For what?
You have to wear
in pilot wings. You start out as just parachuting, I think, and flying the plane. But then they add the jetpack in later on and gets the target.
I played pilot wings on SNES like pretty recently, and that game sucks.
Well,
the 64 one was so much better.
Yep.
It was all about in 1991 when this is out. You could just jump out of the plane and just not pull your parachute.
91's really early SNES.
And you could just I would just watch my character fall to the ground and then like fall through the ground like in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was cool at the time, just that you could do that.
Have you played Pilot Wings?
I haven't.
It's just
worked out.
Is it on the Super NES Classic?
A bunch of big green rotating triangles.
Well, that's pretty telling if Nintendo didn't include it on the SNES Classic. Thank you for the suggestion. Stephanie in Rhode Island, if you have your own questions for... if you have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to be back. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast. where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.